Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together concerning the Gospel of John. And I have pointed out many times, and I want you to clearly understand, every part of the Word of God is important to us. It fulfills God's purposes for teaching us concerning His creation of the world, His purposes in the world, His purposes for us as His people. And so it is God's will that we understand that every part of the Word of God is His Word. No part was given strictly by man. It was given by the Spirit through man to write down. But whether it's history or prophecy or whatever it might be, it is God's Word. Certain parts of the Bible, however, have themes in them which are important for us to understand at any given point. And the themes in the Gospel of John are vitally important for our understanding of God's salvation. First of all, the theme of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is Jesus truly God? Is He really God the Son? Did He come down from the presence of the Father? Did He come down to the earth to be born and to live and to die on the cross for our sins? And the Gospel of John very clearly indicates who He is, that He has the power and the authority and the ability to save us from our sins, because He is the divine Son of God. Now, this truth has been denied by many, many people. There are many liberal so-called Christian teachers who are very liberal in their theology, who deny this truth. In other words, Jesus was not really God. He was simply a great man, perhaps even the greatest man who ever lived. They would acknowledge this, but they wouldn't acknowledge His deity. Or He might be the greatest teacher or the greatest example for us. They use a lot of different phrases like this to describe Jesus, except that they do not accept that He is the divine Son of God. The cult groups also deny this. They cannot accept Jesus. He is simply, again, like a Superman. One cult group might teach He's simply higher up the ladder than we are. In other words, He's a little bit better than we are, but He would not be the divine Son of God. And I want to emphasize this truth again. If Jesus is not God the Son, then we have no Savior from sin. There is no relationship with God. There is no salvation for us. There is no eternity in heaven with Him. Because we had to have a Savior with power and ability and authority to save us from our sins. And then the second theme is that theme of salvation itself. And this has been taught throughout the Gospel of John. We pointed this out again and again, not just with Nicodemus in chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, but throughout the book, Jesus is teaching concerning the salvation He has brought. And He emphasizes this important truth, which needs to be understood, especially by very religious people listening to my voice today. And the truth is that Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no one else or nothing else that can help us in addition to the Lord Jesus. So if you're depending upon anyone else or anything else to help take you to heaven in addition to the Lord Jesus, even if you say you believe in Him and you're doing something in addition to Him, then this is not God's salvation. Because the Lord Jesus is exclusively the only means of our salvation. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have it, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But again He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. So these two themes are the themes we've been studying as we've studied the Gospel of John. And these two themes will go right through to the very end of the book, and we're already in chapter 20. Now, we have gone through a number of sections, and I don't want to go through those sections with you, but we've gone through a number of sections in this book, beginning with the introduction to the book, then going to a period of consideration, and then we see the mounting controversy as people are deciding either they will accept Him or they will not, either they will trust Him or they will not, either they will believe what He says and what He does or they will not. And so people are making up their minds. The leaders themselves, the Jewish leaders themselves, have mostly decided they will not trust Him. There are only a few, and these are mentioned in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, only a few who believe in Him, but even these are afraid to confess Him openly because they might be cast out of the synagogue for their faith in Him. And so this question is coming again and again. What will we do with this one called Jesus? And it mounts up until many of the leaders decide they want to kill him. No matter what he has done, no matter what he has said, they still decide they're going to kill him. And so we went through this whole thing, and then we came into the period of conference, and we finished that when Jesus confers privately with his disciples. This goes through chapter 13 through 17. And now we've come to this period of consummation, and we're just finishing this period of consummation. That is this period when the Lord Jesus now has been raised from the dead. He's not only been crucified, of course, tried and crucified, but now he's been raised from the dead. And this was the very last part of this period of consummation. He's been raised from the dead, gloriously raised physically from the dead, in a glorified body, but still with physical appearance and everything. And now he appears to his disciples, and these disciples have seen him. They have witnessed that he truly has risen from the dead. He has told them that they're to tell others concerning this. He's even met with people on the road to Emmaus. This is not recorded in John, but it is recorded. He appeared to people on the road, some of those who had believed in him but were not his main disciples. And so Jesus now has gloriously risen from the dead. So we've come to this final period of the life of the Lord Jesus. Now you notice in John chapter 20 now, we're just finishing John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read these words, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now this closing little passage in the Gospel of John chapter 20 is giving us the purpose, again, a review of the purpose of the Gospel of John. This is what I've been teaching you all along. So in verses 30 and 31, he closes with a clear statement of the main purposes of the book. First of all, he points to the fact that Jesus had performed countless other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in the book. In other words, the four Gospels, even if you were to put them all together and you were to take a survey of the four Gospels and were to study them very, very carefully, these four Gospels record dozens and dozens of miracles, for instance. But all the miracles they record still would not take into account everything that Jesus did. You know, they're only very selective by the Holy Spirit in what they choose to share with us. The Gospel of John is like this as well. In other words, he is proving his deity by his signs. He's proving he is the promised Messiah. But there were many other signs, countless others whom he healed, lepers whom he healed, lame people, blind people, people with demons. These demons were cast out. And so there were countless others besides the ones that are recorded. And so John points to this in John chapter 20, verse 30. He also continues by saying that the signs that have been recorded have been given to them to cause them to fully accept the main themes of the book. In other words, they fully can accept now that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. He is the divine Son of God. And also, the other theme is what they must do about him. Believing you may have life through his name. So John continues by saying that these themes and these signs that have been recorded have caused them to fully believe in the themes. And as these themes are stated, these themes are very clearly set forth in the Gospel of John, and the purpose of the signs that are included is to help them to really believe the themes. Jesus is God, and he has come to bring salvation, and that we must believe and trust in him. Now, these two themes have been taught and demonstrated throughout the Gospel of John. I pointed this out many times to you. These two themes have been taught and demonstrated throughout the Gospel of John. But this restatement of them reinforces the truth that acceptance of the truth of these themes and acting upon these themes must be the foundation of our faith, the faith of anyone who wants to have a relationship with God and have eternal life. In other words, if we reject these themes, if we do not accept what God is teaching us, then we cannot have eternal life. So these two themes are to be accepted and to believe with all our hearts. What I'm trying to emphasize is this. You cannot come to the Word of God, and this is true in the Gospel of John, with doubts in your minds or with questions. God is able to clear up your questions. He's able to take away your doubts. But you cannot live your life with many doubts. Well, maybe Jesus is the divine Son of God, or maybe salvation is only through Him. Because in this world, we're being taught by many other people other than God Himself. In other words, people follow their leaders. Even in the church, people will follow tradition rather than the written Word of God. So people will say, well, it's true that this teaching is not found in the Bible, but it's part of our tradition that this is taught. No, these are the teachings of man. We don't follow tradition. We follow the Word of God itself. So if I want to know the truth, I look to see what God Himself has to say, not what men have passed on, not what men have thought, or what men have decided, but I follow only what God Himself has to say. And so this closing to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John is emphasizing these truths. And so as we come to God, as we come and we seek relationship with Him, we recognize that we must believe exactly what this book has taught us. Not only this book, but other books as well. The book of Romans would be another book that would be teaching the same two truths. The book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Hebrews. And so if you really want to know the truth, put aside the writings of men, the words of men, the traditions of men, and go back to the Word of God itself. The Word of God is eternal. It has all the truth you need to know, and you can absolutely depend upon it with all your hearts. So go back to the Word of God itself. Now, in a wider sense, this little passage of Scripture teaches us that it's important to understand that the purpose of God is very clear. In other words, what is the purpose of God for each book or portion of His Word? And then, as you read God's Word and you find out its purpose, you apply that purpose to your own lives. In other words, this will keep us from going astray. Many, many people in our day have gone astray. They've gone astray with the teachings of man and other things, or misunderstanding of the Word of God itself. So when we study the Word of God, we compare Scripture with Scripture. For instance, even in the Gospel of John, we just don't pick out one verse from the Gospel of John and then ignore every other teaching of the Gospel of John. No, we take the book in its entirety. We compare Scripture with Scripture, even chapter to chapter. We're comparing the teachings of the Lord Jesus in one place with His teachings in another place. I don't want to confuse you by what I'm saying, but I'm saying that you need to get into the Word of God, and then you need to apply God's Word very clearly to your lives, and you need to avoid false teaching. It's so easy to stray to the right hand or to the left hand, so to speak. It's so easy to stray because there are many false teachers in the world. The cult groups are false teachers. Many of the people we depend upon sometimes may be coming up with some idea that is not really found in the Scriptures. So we avoid all false teaching. Now, I don't want to go into this too far with you, but I want to simply say that in the study of God's Word, we study it very, very carefully, and we seek to understand its truth, and then we apply this truth to our lives. And so this is the emphasis that I want to put upon the last two verses of chapter 20. The last two verses state again the themes of the book, the themes that we've been seeing throughout the book. And then he states these themes in very, very simple form, that Jesus is God. He has the ability and the power and the authority to save us from our sins, and He gives to us the salvation He came to bring. It was His entire purpose of coming into the world was not just to teach and not just to do miracles, but His entire purpose in coming to the world and His main and key purpose in coming into the world was to give us eternal life by His death on the cross. And so this is very important for you to understand. Now I want to close this message with these words. If you, in your own hearts, are really seeking the truth of God, find that truth in the Word of God. When you read the Gospel of John, for instance, accept its truth. You'll notice its teachings are very simple, but very clear. In other words, put aside everything men have taught you and go back to God Himself and His Word and study the Word very carefully and learn from the Scriptures exactly God's purposes for your life and what He wants you to do. And the second thing that I want to say is this. Once you have found the Lord Jesus as your Savior, determine in your hearts, according to John 13 through 17, that you're going to follow Him with all your heart. In other words, give your lives to Him. Let Him control your life. And be everything that God wants you to be in your life. It is not God's will that a person should find salvation and then turn around and ignore the one who has saved them from their sins. When I find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, I owe Him my life. This is taught very clearly in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. In other words, I owe Him my life. My life now belongs to Him. It is a joy and a privilege to belong to the Lord Jesus. And therefore, it also brings with me, responsibility before God. I have the responsibility now of following the Lord Jesus in gratitude to Him, of praising and honoring Him with my life, and of living for Him, living separated from the world, a pure, holy life before God. So this would be my prayer for you, that you might be this kind of a Christian once you have trusted Him as your Savior. So find Him first as your Savior. Come to Him as the only means of your salvation. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you from your sins, and then live for Him completely. May the Lord help you and bless you, each one.